Today on Family Talk.
In Isaiah 38:19, we read, "A father tells his sons about the Lord's faithfulness." It's a parent's sacred task to instill in their kids a love for God and the Bible. Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk, the radio ministry of Dr. James Dobson and the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for this broadcast. Today, Dr. Dobson continues his discussion on the topic of leaving a spiritual legacy, and a special guest is Joe White, the president of Kanakuk Camps and a board member of Cross International. Joe passionately speaks about the love of God to thousands of kids every year, and he's authored over 20 books. In today's conversation, Dr. Dobson and Joe White will emphasize the job that parents have to fully educate their kids with God's Word. They will also reassure parents who feel overwhelmed by this task through some principles that are found in Joe White's book called Faith Training. Here now is the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Joe White on this classic edition of Family Talk.
It is a delight to have our friend Joe White back with us today for the second day, talking about his book, Faith Training, Raising Kids Who Love the Lord. It is, as he said last time, not a book to simply put on a shelf someplace, but it is a manual for how to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hands of our children. And there's nothing more important than that in the universe. And I know, Joe, that is the theme, that's the message that you wanted to convey. Before we get into the details of the book again, of course, Joe White is the president of the Kanakuk and Kanakomo camps near Branson, Missouri. Had 12,000 young people there last summer. Joe White also founded an organization called Kids Across America, which brings inner city youth to camps near the Kanakomo and Kanakomo Cuck camps. You get too many K's here. But you had 4,000 young people from the inner cities that came last summer. What a tremendous ministry. Well, what motivated you to write this book, Joe? Faith Training, Raising Kids Who Love the Lord. I mean, you could write on a lot of things. You talk to many, many thousands of young people. Why this subject?
I was in the airport flying to Colorado Springs. And a well-dressed suburban boy was in line in front of me getting his strawberry yogurt there in the airport. And his T-shirt, unfortunately typical of the day, said, "Everyone has to believe in something. I believe I'll have another beer." I work with kids. I see America's kids fighting for survival. I see America's kids dying from a lack of true spiritual roots. I was scared. I was scared to death as a dad to bring four children into this world and to fulfill the dreams that I always had, that we would have a happy home, that our home would be knit together in God's love, that I would see kids who would not have to go through the grips of terrible, terrible suicidal tendencies, or the grips of the abortion clinic, or the grips of drugs. So, Jim, I was just a dad. I was a dad looking for answers. And I went to a conference by Bill Gothard. He taught me much about teaching Scripture to my children. I began to attend other conferences, talk to other fathers and mothers around the country who are doing it well. And over the last 18 or 20 years, I've developed a plan on how any dad, I mean, this old book is daddy-friendly, if you will. It's mommy-friendly. I'm a layman. I'm just another dad. Just another parent, but a book that could teach kids all the principles that I feel like they need to walk into biology class their freshman year of college and have that professor up there preaching Darwinism, preaching evolution, and for that child to be able to raise their hand, to stand up, even write a term paper on the subject, and know inside their heart that God did it just like he said he did in the book of Genesis. That boy or girl could walk into religion class on a secular campus and have their Jesus pounded and ridiculed. But in their heart, they knew, because their mom and dad taught them, that Jesus Christ was everything he said he was. That they could go into philosophy class and have their ethics and philosophy destroyed. But from their home, their mom and dad had taught them the principles of the faith. And they could walk right through those challenges with strength and conviction and never falter. That's what the book's all about.
Yeah, and let me explain what Joe means there. At the back of the book are sections where the current issues of the day are discussed, the New Testament and safe sex, the sanctity of life, euthanasia, abortion, and so on. You already mentioned evolution, secular humanism and militant humanism or Marxism, America's Christian origins, America's educational system. There are sections to provide information, not to parents, but to young people that'll help them cope with the minefields that are out there in the university setting today.
Every child needs to be homeschooled, Jim. Now, my children go to the public school. They've been in a Christian school, and I think they're all fine. But it's my job as a daddy. It's not the job of the Christian school teacher. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the FCA leader or the Young Life leader. Yes, they help. And I thank God for those men and women that are given to help us with our kids. But the job is mine to pass the baton of the faith to my children. So at night when my children are home, that's when I get to take over. That's when mommy gets to take over. And we are the ones who educate our children with the principles of the faith. And this book is just a home school book, if you will, that any parent can use with their kids.
Tell me how young people have changed and the world in which they live has changed.
Can I pick up a letter, Jim, that I brought with me that I received about 2 weeks ago from a mom? And this may make you nervous, moms and dads. And I don't do this to bring fear. I just bring you this letter to bring reality and to bring the need for us tonight to parent our children and give them the faith. Here's a mom, and you'll find as the letter goes on, a very typical mom. Dear Joe, in the past year, Rachel has begun to do the opposite of everything I ever taught her. Have you ever watched your diamond slip down the drain and you couldn't reach out fast enough to catch it? That's how it feels to watch your daughter buy into the wrong thinking of a bunch of kids who are not moral and then desperately cling to a boy who doesn't have their best interest at heart. Last night I listened while she cried herself to sleep over this boy's second questionable association with another girl since Rachel has become pregnant. Please know that when I say the word immoral, I'm not referring to the old-fashioned situation where a boy and a girl who truly loved each other let things go too far. This group Rachel got involved with are involved in immorality of the darkest nature. I was amazed to learn that some of them are having sex with people they don't even plan to date afterwards, drawing pictures of positions, writing notes about how to, arguing between classes about who's good in bed and who's not. The incredible part of this is that these kids are class favorites, honor society and student council members, class presidents and sports leaders. But this new immorality walks the halls of the school dressed up in straight A's, a beautiful, clean-cut appearance, and top honors. Our kids are hurting, Jim.
Joe,
They're hurting.
That just scares me to death. You just think about these youngsters we bring into the world, these vulnerable little babies that we give our lives for in a heartbeat. That's certainly the way I felt about my kids and still do. And you raise them with love and care, and you take them to Sunday school, and you read the scripture to them, and then you tenderly submit them to that kind of immoral environment that's out there, and what they hear and what they experience, the pressures that they're under, what goes on in the car when they're away from you. I mean, we got to stay on our knees. There is no other answer.
I'll tell you something on the other side of the coin that's exciting. Last summer, I did a confidential survey of the kids at K2, which is the teenage branch, and that's the camp that I give most of my summer to. But I surveyed these kids with no names written on the surveys. I feel they were completely confidential. And listen to this. 87% of the teenagers at this camp said that they were virgins. 85% of those kids said they were committed to not have sex until they were married. 62% of those kids said that they didn't drink alcohol at all. Yes, we do have a few kids who struggled. Yes, we do have plenty of kids who've had to meet the forgiveness of Christ and have their second virginity restored, which I believe is definitely possible in the face of the blood of Christ. But these kids who have moms, who have dads, some single, hopefully most still committed in marriage, who are working at night, parenting these kids, training these kids in the faith, still have strong convictions.
Isn't that amazing, Joe, when you consider the obstacles that they're up against? You know, in a world where almost no one seems to believe that anymore, where whatever it is conveys these immoral principles to them, what they see in the movies and what the rock music industry tells them and what all their friends say, And then you've still got some youngsters who are saying, I'm going to go God's way. That is exciting.
Yes, sir. God is
great.
It is
still possible
Absolutely.
To pull that off today.
Absolutely. You find a dad that's committed to Christ. You find a mom that's committed to Christ. And you'll find kids, if they're being taught diligently, as Paul told Timothy, if they're being taught diligently, that those kids still can become some of the godliest people on this planet.
The converse of that, and I want to say this knowing it's going to make some people uncomfortable. And it's going to put some guilt on some parents. But this is the truth with a capital T. You get too busy to care about your kids. You get too busy to let them know that you love them. You get too busy to teach them the Word of God. And the culture will take them to hell. Because the culture does not support the Christian ethic like it used to. You can't count on anybody else doing the job for you.
You're right.
That's a heavy load, but it's true.
But a well-instructed kid who from his daddy, who's his hero, who from his mom, who's his hero, can take this adolescent sort of rebellious attitude and rebel right into the secular classroom, can rebel right into that ungodly relationship and take it on like they're taking on a passionate, rebellious cause that we heard about in the 60s. But this cause can be the cause of Christ.
Yeah, which way does the rebellion go?
Absolutely.
You rebel against an evil culture or do you rebel against loving parents? It can go either way.
Absolutely. I have a favorite word called perseverance. And perseverance is that mom. Perseverance is me. It's you, Jim. It's a parent who is once a day, every day, all day long, as the old country song said, prayer warrior for their kids. It's the parent who, like my father said, you never, ever, ever give up on being a dad. He said his favorite word in parenting is relentlessness. You never give up on kids. And that mom is still praying for that child, and that mom is still that child's best friend. And that child will come back.
Joe, in your book, you have a chapter also on a man that you and I both loved named Trevor Mabry. In fact, I had met Dr. Mabry, and he was telling me, you got to meet Joe White. This man is something. This man is really making a contribution to families, and so we invited you here. So Dr. Mabry was not only close to you, but one of my very good friends, and I was with him the night before he died in a plane crash back in 1987. You wrote a chapter on him. Explain what he meant to you.
Trevor was my mentor. He was my Paul. I was his Timothy. Trevor probably believed in me more than any other man except my daddy and gave me, Jim, a lot of the ignition that you see in my heart today, a lot of the passion for God and a lot of the passion for kids. Trevor had an ability, one of the most successful surgeons probably that ever lived. Trevor had an ability to singularly focus on every child that came into his medical clinic as if that child was the only child on planet Earth. And he gave me that same kind of singular focus and attention. He made me feel like I could shake the earth. He did that with everyone he came in contact with.
At least half of the patients that came to him were never charged. If they had any kind of financial problems, I mean, not that they could have borrowed to pay him. If they had any kind of financial problems, he didn't charge them. He just had a great love for people.
And a precious dad as well. He raised three of the most fantastic kids you ever laid eyes on.
What a loss. Wonder why the Lord took that good man. And they don't come any better than Trevor Mabry.
He went home, but Trevor's still here. You know, Trevor is very much alive. He was on our board of directors. He's still, his personality, his grin, you can almost see across the board table. His kids continue to carry the baton of the faith that Trevor placed in their hands as a dad. He lives on forever in our hearts.
Why did you write a chapter about him?
Well, Trevor told me of an experience one day where he gave a boy his hearing. He was a very poor boy from a foreign country who had never had ears. He was born without ears. Trevor, under anesthesia, drilled into the side of his head. He found the nerves. He went to the bone bank and got the three bones necessary in hearing. He connected the bones to the nerves. A plastic surgeon gave the young boy ears. The next morning, the boy woke up. Trevor walked into his room in recovery, and the boy was crying. And Trevor communicated with the boy, why are you crying? And the boy communicated back that he had heard a bird sing that morning. It was the first time he had ever heard a bird sing. Trevor taught us how to listen. Trevor taught us how to be sensitive, to hear the heartbeat of our children. Paul shows us the principle in the book of Timothy about how a father who is effective really knows his kids. Paul talked about remembering Timothy's tears. Trevor was a man who understood. Trevor threw papers with his boy, two or three paper routes throughout his lifetime, and Trevor would get up and help him roll the newspapers. Trevor was a man who knew how to build a relationship with his kids.
You mentioned Timothy and Paul. Mm-hmm. I know that the book of Timothy is very important to you, Joe, and you have described in this book some devotional material related to that book and some others. You have several devotions here for parents to share with their children, but the one on Timothy is especially meaningful to you. Explain why.
Probably one of the greatest challenges and probably one of the most fulfilling opportunities that a parent could ever take would be to memorize the book of 2 Timothy with your children. I think it's a biblical treatise on being a dad, on being a mom. Timothy was Paul's child in the faith. Paul had an affection for Timothy probably like nobody else during his days on this earth. I memorized the letter with my children, and Jim, by reverent use of our imagination, I'd just like for us to go back here in the studio to the Roman cell where Paul wrote with his friend Luke. He was thinking about Timothy, and Paul knew that his days were about over, and he knew that the baton of the faith, if it was going to be carried on, it would be carried on by his young son in the faith, Timothy. To me, he was talking about Brady, my son. To me, he was talking about my boy Cooper. But Paul looks out there and he begins to reflect. What would I tell that boy if I could leave one thing in his head? What kind of legacy would I leave him? This is probably my last communication with him. And he writes, probably in cuffs, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers both night and day, longing to see you, Timothy, even as I remember your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is within you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but join with me in the furtherance of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own grace and purpose, which is in Christ Jesus from all eternity, for which I'm suffering these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted him until that day. And then, Jim, I'll pick up a few exhortations, fatherly exhortations that he leaves with Timothy throughout the book. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men, your sons, who will be able to teach them to others also. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who name the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And from childhood, you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work." And then, Jim, he concludes this precious last letter by saying, "I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his appearing and of his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but all those who have loved his appearing. Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. Come before winter. And soon after he wrote the letter, his days were over.
There are times when I really do wish we did have television cameras here. Joe was not reading that passage. He was quoting it from memory because it's written on his heart. Yeah. Joe, did you and your children memorize that together?
Yes, sir. We memorize scripture together at night, and it's the greatest. It's the most fun I've ever had with my kids. We just take a verse a night.
And what power there is in that message.
Yeah, Jim,
you
my
get
kids
that
are,
written on the hearts of your children, and it speaks to them through the day.
It does. My kids struggle like every other kid. I have two boys and two girls, and they're fighting the battle that everybody else's kids are fighting. But God's Word's tattooed on their hearts, and it helps them make decisions when the decisions come, when they're tough.
Talk to the parent out there whose job is so tough. I mean, it is. It's not just a willful overcommitment and workaholism. They're trying to do a tough job. Some of those people own businesses that'll go bankrupt if they don't work 10 and 12 hours a day. And there's very little left when they come home. Talk to the parent who's just heard you today and yesterday and know the importance of that message and just haven't been able to pull it off.
I just received a letter, too, from a teenage girl. My relationship with my dad today is excellent, Joe. Up until 1 year ago, it was basically non-existent. I cannot begin to tell you what a huge hole in my life has begun to be filled as my relationship with my father has grown. Now, thanks to God, he's one of my best friends. Any day is the day to turn it around with your kids. There is a place in a child's heart that can only be filled by a relationship with a mom and a dad. And that void is waiting for any day at age 14, 19, 35, for a dad or a mom to tiptoe back into that child's vacant home in their heart and begin to encourage, to love, to hug, to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, to build that relationship, and then to allow that child to see Christ behind that man or woman's desire to build that relationship.
It is our goal that every program that we do reflects scriptural principles, because that's the foundation of all truth for the universe. And we hope that we accomplish that. But there are some programs that reflect the heart of the gospel even more than others. And this one comes right out of the centerpiece of the Word of God. I am convinced there is nothing more important in living for those who have been blessed to be parents than that you introduce them to Jesus Christ and get his word written on their hearts. Nothing else matters. What does it matter? If I become the best known psychologist in the world, if I lead the biggest ministry in the world, if I make billions of dollars, what does it matter? It's nothing if I lose my kids. And that's where it has to start. Faith Training, Raising Kids Who Love the Lord by Joe White. You love the Lord, don't you, Joe?
He's been good to me.
Thanks for all you do for all those families. Joe, who knows? It's only written in heaven what difference you've made in those young people who've come to your camps confused, influenced by the world, and maybe putting their toe into the wickedness of the world around them, and have gotten a new vision of faith and a new relationship with Jesus Christ while they're there. Thank you for all that.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And thanks for being our friend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Family Talk and Dr. James Dobson's interview with author Joe White. For parents that are listening to us right now, we pray that you have been emboldened and refreshed by what Joe has shared these past couple of days. Passing the spiritual baton on to your kids is no easy task. It takes dedication and determination to make your kids realize the importance of knowing God. Go to drjamesdobson.org and click onto the broadcast page, and you can learn more about Joe White and the ministry of Kanakuk Camps. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. The number for our offices here in Colorado Springs is 877-732-6825. Once you call, you can choose option 3 to leave your thoughts about the broadcast on our listener feedback line. You can also choose to speak to one of our representatives and request any resource or ask for prayer. Again, the number is 877-732-6825. And please know how much we look forward to hearing from you. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast, and be sure to come back again tomorrow for an informative conversation about the archaeological discoveries that support the validity of the Bible. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a blessed day, everyone.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. This is Roger Marsh. Here at Family Talk, we strongly believe in our rights as Americans to make our voices heard at the polls. That is why we are urging you to get out and vote in the 2018 midterm elections. Visit our site on Election Day to click the I Voted button that we'll have there. The future of America depends on our involvement in this crucial election. So pray, be engaged, and cast your vote this November 6th.